Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Return to Seoul, Star Rise, by M.D. Cooper. Narrated by Chris Dukart. Part 1. New Canaan. A Dive to Remember. Stellar Date, May 27, 8950. Adjusted Years. Location, Dive Tower, Normandy. Region, Roma. New Canaan System. Carrie drew a slow breath as they stepped off the shuttle onto one of Normandy Tower's high docking platforms. The moon's surface was 50 kilometers below, and the tower's disk spread out another dozen above. She'd only been there once before, present for that fateful meeting with Sarah's father, Jeffrey Tomlinson, or his clone, as it had turned out. For her, that was when her idyllic childhood had ended, only to be replaced with a galaxy-spanning war and ascension. That thought brought on the exact reason she'd come out here with her sisters. They were hoping to not think of their missing mother and their father's anguish for at least a few days. It was hard when your mom was kind of in charge of everything. Every single face they looked at gazed back with an expression of pity or sympathy. It was crushing.
You with us?
Sanvi asked from her side.
I know you could probably just levitate up to the dive platform, but the rest of us have to take the lift.
Felina snorted.
Speak for yourself. I could totally fly up there if I had to.
Carrie smiled at her sisters. No, I'll go the normal way. Spending time with you two, just being normal. That's the point. Sanvi gestured at the door leading into the tower.
Well, let's get that underway then.
Normal starts with walking over there.
On it, Carrie said with a laugh, leading the way. The laugh was forced, and she hoped the others couldn't tell. She was still racked with guilt over what she'd done to them aboard A1 ship. That feeling was compounded by the knowledge that her mother was likely imprisoned or worse at the Galactic Core. So many of the people she'd grown up with had left the system. Her mother, Ernest, dozens of others serving across the galaxy, many of whom would never return to New Canaan. A memory of Priscilla sprang forward in Carrie's mind, and with it the knowledge that her own brash behavior had killed the woman, denying her the final merger with Bob's mind that she'd craved so much. That pain was sharpened by the fact that her actions aboard A1 ship and the final confrontation at New Seoul had led to her and her sisters being welcomed back to New Canaan as heroes, which was what hurt the most. I should be punished for what I did. I killed my mother. I'm a monster. She knew that wasn't exactly true, or at least that's what everyone had tried to convince her of. ISF psychologists, her father, even Bob. But she saw the haunted look in Joe's eyes when he thought she didn't know he was looking at her. She didn't need to reach into his mind to know what was going on in there. My daughter killed my wife. Sure, they all believed that Tanis and Angela were alive. Bob was certain of it and Joe clung to that. But that didn't change the fact that Tangel had died. And no one else seemed to feel that loss in the same way as Carrie. Then again, none of them were ascended. Tangel was Carrie's mother in a different fashion than she was to Sanvi and Felina.
Hello?
Felina clasped Carrie's shoulder.
Let's go already.
Right. Carrie nodded, realizing that her forward momentum had slowed to a crawl. It's just, should we really be doing this? Moms are out there somewhere. Sarah is searching for her, in the core, and we're back here, picking up extreme sports.
Then think of it as training.
Sanvi replied as they reached the door, stepping into the tower's warmly colored interior and well-lit passage.
There's every chance that someday we'll need to dive into a gas giant and hit a platform below the cloud tops.
Honestly, it's a little surprising we haven't already,
Felina added. Another notch in our belts. Carrie did her best to add a carefree laugh before pressing the call button on the lift and waiting for the car to arrive. It only took a moment and the three women filed on and stood in silence as it rose.
Crazy that you weren't born yet, the last time we were here,
Sanvi said to Felina.
It feels like we've lived a lifetime since then.
The AI laughed.
Well, that's literally true for me.
Carrie couldn't help but chuckle. Well played.
Thank you.
Felina gave a mock bow as the doors opened, welcoming them onto the platform's main deck. The tower had taken some damage in the battle following that fateful meeting with the Transcend some years prior. A repair crew had come through and cleaned up, but the facility had seen little use since. what with the war drawing most of New Canaan's residents away. An automaton approached, striding across the foyer, giving them a cheery wave before offering a greeting.
"Welcome to the Normandy Recreational Tower."
"Thank you," Felina said, giving the NSAI a polite nod. "We're here to do a dive down to Roma's surface."
"Of course," the automaton replied. "That is exactly what we're here for, only we can't today."
Why? Carrie asked. "We have permission to be here."
"Oh, yes," the robot nodded enthusiastically. "You would not have been granted docking clearance otherwise. However, a cyclone has dipped into Roma's central zone, and the dive platform shifted south to avoid it."
Felina frowned. "Can't we just shift to the south in our dive trajectory?"
"Oh, no."
Though the automaton spoke in denial of the suggestion, its tone remained bright and cheerful.
"That would break protocol."
"What sort of protocol?" Carrie asked.
"Well, your angle of approach toward the landing platform would increase your chances of missing it."
Sanvi laughed. "Okay, that does seem compelling. I'm not super keen on falling into Roma till it crushes us."
"How long till the platform is back in position?" Felina asked.
"Tomorrow morning. The exact time is uncertain. You know how the weather is, especially on Roma."
"I've heard talk," Carrie replied. "Well, in that case, are the restaurants open?" They were met with another gleeful nod from the NSAI.
"Oh, of course. We have a great many delicacies waiting for you. It's been so long since we've had the opportunity to serve anyone. Follow me."
The automaton tottered off toward one of the sweeping staircases that led up to the top deck. This was largely as Carrie remembered it, a wide, open area filled with foliage and a smattering of large, intimate dining areas spread throughout. The robot led them to a small grotto surrounded by a variety of tall flowering plants and bid them to make themselves comfortable before it disappeared into the greenery. Carrie looked up and took in Roma's red and blue clouds, perfectly visible through the clear dome that stretched over the top deck. It was a beautiful sight, and from the vantage, no ships or stations were visible. It felt almost as though...
"I can't help but feel like we're the only people alive anywhere,"
Sanvi said, all but speaking Carrie's mind.
"It's rather serene," Felina suggested.
"I was going to say unnerving. I've never liked the idea of being alone on a ship with nothing around."
Carrie knew why that was. Sanvi had been found after her father's ship had been adrift for centuries, the sole survivor of an encounter with Ixaldi that had killed everyone else aboard. The nightmares she'd suffered afterward had kept her and Carrie up many nights until she reached her later teens. That thought reminded Carrie of how often it had been Angela who had comforted the two girls when that occurred. The idea that maybe, just maybe, her mothers would both return was one that gave her hope, as well as a steadily growing knot of anxiety as the days since Sarah had jumped to the core passed.
"You're thinking of them again?"
Sanvi said, speaking into the silence that Carrie's drifting thoughts had created. "Sorry." She shrugged. "This is getting nuts, though. How long are we supposed to wait?" Felina cocked an eyebrow.
"Bob said, Bob has all the time in the world."
Carrie spat out the words, surprising even herself with the vehemence they bore. She clenched her jaw, forcing herself to calm down.
"I can't wait forever." "None of us can," Sanvi said. "We all played a part in what happened at New Earth. You don't carry the blame alone, no pun intended."
"I made you go along with me," Carrie whispered. "You were basically my slaves." Felina placed a hand on Carrie's arm.
"That wasn't you. Not exactly."
"It wasn't, no, but it is." Sanvi cocked her head.
"What do you mean?"
Carrie tapped her temple.
"She's still in here. A1. I still have her memories. I understand her motives, her desires. A part of me is her now."
"Having her memories doesn't shape you," Felina said. "I possess many memories and knowledge from our parents, but I'm not them. I am me. I make my own way in the world."
Carrie winced. "I don't know if that makes it better." Sanvi reached out and placed a hand on Carrie's other arm.
"It means you can redeem yourself in your own eyes."
"Because we have already forgiven you,"
Felina added. Tears threatened to spill down Carrie's cheeks and she ducked her head, knowing if she made eye contact, the waterworks would start, and there would be no stopping them. After a few shuddering breaths, she dared to glance up at her sisters. Shit. This was supposed to be a way to take our minds off things. Sorry I'm ruining it.
Sanvi snorted.
That's just what we told you. Really, it was a way for us to have you to ourselves and hash out some of this stuff.
I've been ambushed? She grumbled. There was a temptation to be upset at her sisters, but Carrie quashed that. The fact that they were going out of their way to help her when she was the one who had wronged them was something she couldn't ignore. If anything, the urge to blurt out something about not deserving their compassion was nearly impossible to suppress.
May I prepare you a drink?
The automaton had returned, saving them from coming up with a way to continue the conversation. After they'd each made a selection, Carrie reached out for her sister's hands.
Okay, I promise not to mope anymore. Let's talk about happier times. Like when Felina first got a body and couldn't figure out how to walk and talk at the same time.
What are you talking about?
The AI placed a hand on her chest, an expression of mock indignance on her diminutive features.
I have no memory of that.
Sanvi snorted. Right. Just like you never got in a tussle with the octopuses on Troy that one time.
They were being cheeky snots.
Carrie laughed.
They excel at that. I'm starting to think that they figured out humor years ago and just revel in being little shits now.
Sanvi nodded.
Did I tell you about the time they raided the Capitol building? And deeded the underwater park to themselves?
Felina rolled her eyes, a smile on her lips.
No, but I'm not surprised. Now tell me all about it.
Carrie ran through an automated systems check on her dive suit while giving Felina's a visual once over. Meanwhile, Felina was checking Sanvi over, who was inspecting Carrie. The armor was virtually indistinguishable from vacuum-capable powered armor, which wasn't surprising as the threats Roma's atmosphere presented were not so different from those of armed combat. Felina's gear checked out, and Carrie's own diagnostics pronounced her good to go at the same time that Sanvi gave her the thumbs up.
Looks like we're ready for the black,
Felina said, a smile visible through her helmet's clear face shield.
Anyone else questioning their sanity?
Daily. Carrie gave a self-mocking laugh. But what does that have to do with this?
Sanvi rolled her eyes. What a comedian.
She turned toward the airlock and the others followed, passing through a brief cycle and moving out onto the jump deck. The trio obeyed the indicators on their HUDs, leading them to one of the several pads that encircled the tower's upper platform. Carrie eyed the 10-meter-wide ring skeptically. They were over 500,000 kilometers from Roma, and that ring was what they were relying on to send them from the tower to a kilometer-wide platform drifting in Roma's clouds. Granted, their dive suits had thrusters to keep them on course, but it was still a long way to fall through the black.
What is wrong with us?
She asked as they stepped onto the pad.
What? Because we are doing this?
Sanvi asked.
I was thinking of our people. Why did we build this? Whose idea was it to turn planet diving into a sport?
Felina snorted.
Pretty sure it was Mom's. I mean, not originally, but she was the one who had this place built.
Sure. Carrie nodded, still staring up at Roma's bulk hanging above them. But it's really just to cover up the secret shipyard inside the moon. Back in Seoul, though, someone decided this was fun.
You having second thoughts?
Sanvi asked.
Also, it was clearly Marines.
No. Carrie shook her head. To second thoughts, that is, yes, to it being Marines. I could see Yusuf doing this.
In the tiniest swim shorts ever?
Sanvi added, then made a slurping sound.
Sorry, what were we talking about?
Carrie gave her sister a measuring look.
Isn't Yusuf an Aaron's polycule?
Sanvi shrugged.
So, it's a good cule. I'd sign up for their group any day.
Felina whistled.
But, like, they're so old.
The other two groaned in unison.
What?
The AI asked. Everyone's old to you, Felina. Carrie laughed. You're just a baby.
I resemble that remark.
Sanvi pointed upward.
So, we gonna do this?
Carrie nodded. Yeah, I've set the countdown. It'll be on your HUDs now. The first number to appear was 30, and from there it ticked down, one per second until at 10, the trio rose off the pad and reoriented to face up. The A-grav system held them aloft until 3, when they began to rise at a sedate pace. At zero, the acceleration reached 10 Gs and held for a half minute until they were out of the A-Grav field's control, free-falling toward Roma.
Oh, yeah!
Carrie shouted to the others, who were now a few dozen meters away, the trio forming a slightly lopsided triangle.
That was a rush,
Sanvi added, breath fogging her face shield for a moment before the excess moisture cleared out. A marker appeared on the gas giant. It lay just south of the equator in the light blue zone that encircled the world's widest point.
That's our platform, Carrie said. Just a needle in a haystack.
Needle in an ocean, Sanvi clarified.
Felina sent an audible groan across the comms.
We've done stuff way more difficult than this. Heck, your first battle above Carthage, you had to pull a dozen tighter vectors.
Sure, Sanvi replied, from inside a starship.
Wasn't much of a starship, Carrie said with a soft laugh.
Not when we were done with it, at least,
her sister replied. The laughter felt good, and Carrie basked in the feeling, remembering how pissed everyone had been, and how their punishment had been to go to school for things they'd long surpassed. Of course, that had led to saving Nance and uncovering the threat that Ascended AIs posed. Without that, they would never have found and killed Myrdan or managed a host of other victories. Or ended up taking on A1 and winning? She drew in a shuddering breath, then blew it out, briefly obscuring Roma. No, I'm not going there.
I need to move on. Moms are alive and Sarah is going to save them. We're all going to be together again. 5 minutes till we hit clouds,
Felina said after a few minutes, bringing Carrie back to the present.
Look sharp, girls.
Roma now filled over 90 degrees of the view before them, its red and blue-colored clouds drifting across the world's surface, their movement deceptively slow.
Shit, it's just everywhere now,
Carrie said.
The planet?
Sanvi asked.
Or did you have an accident in your suit? I know you hate to hook up the plumbing.
Carrie muttered something aloud, letting the comms pick up and transmit the sound.
You too,
Felina said, laughing as they continued to accelerate toward the massive planet.
Sometimes I wonder.
Wonder what?
Sanvi asked.
How we're so awesome?
Yeah, that.
Look at that thunderhead, Carrie exclaimed, pointing to the middle of the equatorial zone, where the cyclone that had delayed their jump had shifted. A plume of gas rose so high above the rest of the cloud tops that it cast a shadow for hundreds of kilometers across the world's surface.
Is that even the right word?
Sanvi asked.
Isn't it more like a cloud jet?
Whatever, it looks amazing. And I'm also glad that it's over 1,000 clicks from the platform.
You can say that again,
Felina said.
We're well within the stratosphere now.
Carrie nodded as thin tendrils of cloud began to whip past them, the trio now moving at hundreds of meters per second relative to Roma. It wouldn't be long before their retro boosters fired and their chutes deployed. They only had to slow down to under 1,000 kilometers per hour for the platform's A-grav systems to grab them and draw them to safety, where the shuttle ride back to Normandy would await them. But maybe not right away. The clouds grew thicker around them, the atmospheric density almost at the level where the chute would be most effective. Large cumulus formations loomed to the north, lightning flickering between them, beams of energy shooting out into space as unimaginably powerful discharges surged through the diffused gases. From 5 AU distant, Kanan Prime's light on Roma was like a cloudy day back on Carthage, and as they sank deeper into the gas giant, that light grew dimmer and dimmer.
Shit, how far down is this thing?
Sanvi asked, voicing what Carrie was thinking.
Just another 100 clicks, Felina replied. The view down here is half the reason to make the jump. It's amazing.
A bolt of lightning streaked through the clouds directly below them, and Carrie let out a small shriek.
Really, sis?
Sanvi laughed.
You can shoot lightning from your hands? How did that scare you?
It was really loud.
I'll grant you that, Felina said. Sound travels, really.
Her words were interrupted by a system-wide alert coming in over the emergency channels.
This is an NCSD alert, alert, alert. The System Defense Network has detected multiple incoming fleets at the edge of our interdiction grid. The system is under attack. All military personnel report to duty stations. All civilians report to your group commanders for directives. This is not a drill. This is not a drill.
Carrie turned to look at her sisters only to realize that they were no longer visible in the planet's deepening gloom.
Sanvi,
Felina, you two still there?
Physically, yes, Sanvi replied. Mentally, no.
Felina's initial response was more of a grunt, followed by,
I wish they'd broadcast more information. We've lost signal now.
Carrie felt a tug, and the clouds began to form a funnel around her. Gravfield has us. We'll be down on the platform in no time. We should be able to hit the uplink from there. Her sister sent acknowledgement, and the trio fell silent. Carrie was speculating what could be happening above Roma's clouds, but didn't want to voice her fears lest they amplify the others. Her HUD gave a countdown to shoot deployment, and when it reached time, the jerk was almost comforting, pulling her out of her reverie and demanding she focus on the dark clouds within Roma's atmosphere. She forced herself to enjoy the last few minutes of falling through Roma's deepening dusk, using her extra-dimensional vision to peer into the planet's depths, where she could make out flickers of light. At first, she thought it was lightning, but the more she focused on what was directly below her, the more she suspected it was Roma's core, the liquid metallic hydrogen ball at the center of the gas giant, a state of matter not found anywhere else in the universe. Probably. It would be incredibly hot, but that was not the energy Carrie could see. It was something else, and she found herself wondering if she could travel that deep to find out. Were she not still encapsulated in a corporeal form? Then, something moved across her view, blotting out the light below. For a moment, she feared that there was something alive in the depths, but then a signal hit her link and she realized it was the platform. You've been watching too many space monster vids, girl. The grav field intensified, slowing her down at a rather unpleasant 6 Gs until her relative velocity was only 100 kilometers per hour. From there, the final segment of the descent made her feel like she was a petal drifting to the ground. The platform's lights shone up through the center of the vortex the A-grav field created, lighting up the three sisters. You know, Sanvi said as they closed the final 100 meters, another wave of negative graviton slowing them further. I'd like to do this again, sometime when the galaxy isn't burning down.
I don't think that time exists,
Felina said as their feet touched the platform's landing pad.
We have to take our joy when we can, and not feel guilt over it.
Oof, Carrie said as she looked around for the nearest airlock. A walkway lit up, and the three women strode across the pad toward it, the air almost eerily still around them as Roma's endless storms raged just 100 meters away.
Don't oof me,
Sanvi said as she reached the airlock first and palmed it open.
You know that's how life is. Heck, our entire childhood, being raised by moms and dad, was them taking their joy when they could and not feeling guilty. They both knew what was coming, but were determined not to let it rob them of happiness when it was in front of them.
The outer door closed behind the three women, and Roma's toxic gases were vented and replaced with breathable air. Once the green light illuminated above the inner door, Carrie pulled off her helmet and unpinned her hair, letting it shake free. Someone needs to get a better anti-fog system in these things, she said. Felina winked as she pulled hers off.
You could just not breathe.
Easy for you to say, Sanvi replied. A bit harder for us.
The AI shrugged.
It's a solvable problem even for you two. Either way, I imagine that the nano-coating normally used on recreational gear was diverted to helmets for the ISF, not planet diving.
Carrie nodded absently. Now that they were within the facility, she tapped into the comm systems and attempted to reach out to Normandy for an update on the situation above. Well, that's not good. She turned to her sisters to see distraught expressions on their faces.
I take it you just tried to reach Normandy, too?
Sanvi asked.
They all nodded, and Felina said, Looks like that storm spawned a few followers, and they're shooting too much lightning around. Let's get to the shuttle and head back up.
A small gasp came from Sanvi.
That looks to be our second problem.
She passed the other two a platform status update, which showed no return shuttle docked at the facility. A feed of the bay confirmed that no craft was present. That sucks, Carrie muttered. The thing departed shortly after we did. I wonder what happened.
Not sure, Felina replied. But if we don't get back soon, Normandy will send out an update listing our location as unknown. Someone will come.
Carrie pursed her lips, trying not to let an impotent rage take her over. Okay, well, I guess we should see what food stores this place has. Diving is hungry work.
Lately, everything is hungry work for you,
Sanvi said.
You're like the carb queen.
Huh. I guess I kinda am.
Felina winked.
Probably due to your ascension to goddesshood.
Carrie's stomach rumbled loudly and she gave a sheepish grin. Well, your goddess must be mollified. Let's find the galley. 20 minutes and a few air-fried BLTs later, Carrie was feeling sated and ready to tackle the problem of how to get off the dive platform. While waiting for rescue may not take that long, with the system under attack, she wanted to be an asset, not a burden. She was still reviewing options when Felina thrust a fist in the air.
I think I have an idea. Is it using the Agrab system to lift us out of the clouds? Because with the way this thing floats on vac chambers, I'm not sure that's possible.
Sanvi considered around a mouthful of BLT. Felina deflated a modicum.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's obvious. But the question is how? It's one thing to keep the platform in place, which is buoyant at this depth, but quite another to even reach low orbit. The Agrav system doesn't have enough thrust for that.
Now you're just getting all fancy. Carrie said as she rose and walked to the chiller, selecting a fruit drink. Talking about buoyancy and thrust. The AI cocked her head and gave her sister a puzzled look.
Okay?
It was funnier and less lascivious in my head. Do you need a nap? Sanvi asked with mock concern before turning to Felina.
I have an idea, too. But what's yours?
Felina gave Carrie a final measuring look before continuing.
Well, there are 4 pads, like the ones we landed on. They have high-projection, low-energy agrav emitters. However, I think we could swap those to release some serious waves of negative gravitons.
That's not really going to do much, Sanvi said. It'll just pull clouds down toward us. Sure, it'll make the platform a little more buoyant, but it'll probably just pull us up a few dozen kilometers.
I think we could get 50, Felina replied, and that might be enough to get above the interference and send out a signal.
I'd rather get out of here ourselves, Carrie said. A signal just takes someone away from more important work. Felina cocked an eyebrow.
Or it lets us call down another shuttle from Normandy.
Sanvi shrugged. I guess there's that. Worth giving it a shot.
Wait, Carrie asked. What was your plan, San?
It was a bit more radical.
How so?
Felina leant forward, chin resting on her hands.
Were you thinking of flipping the platform?
How'd you guess? The AI shrugged.
Because it's my backup plan.
So, Carrie took a long draw from her fruit drinks pouch before picking up her helmet. I assume we have to get out there to reconfigure the emitters.
Yeah,
Sanvi replied, nodding as she stood.
And there's another storm coming, so we'd better do it fast, or the platform is going to have to cross from the equatorial zone to the next band down to pull this off.
Carrie drew a deep breath. Like with most hydrogen gas giants, the lighter zones and darker bands traveled in opposite directions around the planet. The wind shear they'd experienced transitioning between the two was not something she would look forward to riding out in a ship, let alone a floating platform. Well then, girls, let's get to it. Carrie double-checked the emitter's configuration before reinserting it into the platform's perimeter ring. Behind her, one of the repair bots was resealing the casings and running stress tests on the housing to make sure that the pads, which normally caught a few humans' worth of mass, would handle the strain of pulling up a 60,000-ton platform. The clouds had changed in color, shifting from their customary light blue hue to a deeper, almost purple color. That meant there was gas from the southern band being drawn into the equatorial zone, a sign that the storm approaching was changing course along with them. With the emitter back in place, Carrie clipped her secondary tether to the pad's outer railing, and then moved her primary tether to it. Her suit's maglock boots were likely enough to hold her in place, but with the winds now gusting at over 300 kilometers per hour relative to the platform, she wasn't interested in taking any chances. Back at the outer railing, she worked her way around to the final emitter, taking a moment to glance over the edge of the depths lurking below. The strange glow was still visible, dancing like sunlight reflecting in water, the shifting patterns both enticing and somehow a warning. An urge to jump over the edge came over her, a sensation that the solution to all her problems lay in Roma's core, though she knew not what that could be. Even if she were to shed her mortal coil, there was no guarantee that it would be possible to claw her way back up from the depths. I'd ask Tangel, but, well. It occurred to her that Bob would likely know what lay in Roma's heart. She wondered if he would be honest with her if she asked. The multinodal AI had a history of only sharing what he thought was pertinent when asked a question. You almost done? Sanvi's voice came over the link, startling Carrie and causing her to nearly trip on a conduit that ran across the catwalk.
Shit, yeah, just one more. How are you looking?
Just helping Felina with the fourth pad. We're almost finished here.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?